You're listening to the Simple Pen Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
All right, so as you may hear already, I'm a little bit sick for the second time in a month, but the podcast has to be recorded. So today I'm going to share with you an interview with my friend Julia. We're going to be talking about AI and your website and SEO and how to leverage it. And AI is not only dominating the conversation, but now it's dominating our Google feeds. And this month we have the announcement of a Google Core update, which I know that sends shivers down every content creator's spine. So we're going to dive into some things maybe you need to know about how to leverage it for SEO and maybe some things not to do, so you don't get swept up in these core updates that Google is doing. We're also going to talk at the end about some creative ways that we have seen people use either ChatGPT or Google Bard, now Gemini, which, as we know, Google Gemini has been in the news, actually, the last couple of weeks for some things that went wrong about its machine learning. So, of course, we don't have a perfect product yet in AI, but that doesn't mean we have to discount it completely. We can still use it. Also, just so you know, I know that Pinterest has rolled out their own version of AI with the descriptions, with writing descriptions, and it does add hashtags. So here's a couple of things to note about this, an update, if you will, about Pinterest AI. One, I do not have it yet. I know some colleagues who have it, and they have been using it to either upload images directly to Pinterest to see what Pinterest will pull for the description, adding ones with links to see what Pinterest will pull with the links. And it's kind of all over the map. And one of the things that came up, and actually one of our Instagram followers pointed this out to me probably a month ago, when I will die on the hill of hashtags don't work on Pinterest. I mean, they work, so please don't misunderstand me that you can definitely click on them, but I don't think they're a part of the ecosystem. I don't think the user uses them. I think they break the search. And yes, I might die on that hill until Pinterest says otherwise. And believe me, I have multiple questions into Pinterest from every which angle to tell us what the final, I guess, what is their view of hashtags? Like, they just need to tell us, because if they've rolled out a new AI tool and it has hashtags in it, I'm just really curious why. So all that to say, she brought this up to me and I thought, oh, that's really weird. You mean it's giving you hashtags like when you type the hashtags in? So she has this new version of the AI writing tool on Pinterest. I do not have it. So if you want to see if you have it, I think a really great way to do it is on your desktop. You simply go to add a pin and you drag and drop an image into the image section, and it should pop up with this little like AI writing. It's like, you'll see it. You'll know if it's there, if it's not. It was not there for me. There was no prompt or whether or not I wanted to try the AI tool. So that's just a little update I wanted to give you before we dive into this podcast with Julia. Also, I know that y'all know that this, and I say it quite a bit, but if you are at all considering outsourcing your Pinterest marketing over the spring and summer and even into the fall, now would be a great time to book a call with our team, whether it's our Done For You services, our Done With You ads, or our new Inner Circle product or DIY. Our job is to help you figure out which service or product is right for you. So book a discovery call with us. Just scroll down below in the app and you can book a call with us. With that, let's dive into my interview with Julia. Hey there, Julia. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this topic because I think, as you know, the world is buzzing with conversation about AI, and especially I was listening to a podcast this last week about Google's recent, you know, I guess, snafu with Gemini and all that's happening there. So before we dive into AI, a blog post and all of that, tell me a little bit, I guess, about just like how you see AI. Like, are you nervous about it? Are you excited about it? Like, what's your overall view of everything as it's rolled out over this last year?
Yeah, to start off with, I was super against it. Like, I refused to use it for the longest time. I actually used the Tailwind AI tool first, and it was absolutely terrible. So that's when I started trying out like ChatGPT and everything. I like using it because when you're like looking at a blank screen and you're trying to write a blog post and you get like really stressed out, like you're, you know, trying to write an essay for class or something, it's helpful to get like a good starting point. I definitely don't just have ChatGPT write a blog post and then, you know, take it directly from there and post it on my blog. I do think it definitely requires quite a bit of editing, especially in terms of SEO. But it is helpful to get like a good starting point. So you're not just like stressing out, staring at a blank screen, and then you don't end up writing any blog posts at all.
Right. And actually, you were the one that told me, you know, with ChatGPT kind of coming onto the scene and it feeling like, I guess for me, in my experience, it was like, oh my gosh, what is ChatGPT? We have to use it. We have to learn it. We have to like leverage it. And when we were talking, you were like, I actually like Google Bard, which is out Google Gemini. You're like, I like it better. So tell me a little bit about like your kind of wading into the water to ChatGPT, discovering the differences between that and Google.
Yeah, so I will say with all the changes with now Gemini, I am annoyed that they're going to put it behind a paywall. So they're, you know, doing away with the free version, it sounds like, I think in the next couple of months. So, I mean, ChatGPT is, you know, decent for the free version. So you definitely don't have to get a paid version if you are trying to, you know, start using AI more. But there were like some, you know, SEO testers done between Bard/Gemini and ChatGPT, and I'm going to keep saying Bard because I'm not used to it.
Yeah, I know, because of the change. Yeah.
So Bard Gemini, the content that was created by them were outranking the ones created by ChatGPT, like I think 75% of the time. So it is a more quality tool, it seems like, at least compared to the free version of ChatGPT. I don't think I've seen a test done with like the paid version of ChatGPT, since you can have like, you know, all those different plugins and things. But it is a higher quality tool. And there are also more paid tools that are also high quality. There's one called Write Blogger, one that is called Content at Scale. That one is like definitely really expensive. but if you are looking for like a really quality AI tool, those could be ones that you can look at. But again, you do have to pay for those.
Well, and okay, so my little like skepticism comes up when you said like Google Gemini, their stuff was ranking higher on Google compared to ChatGPT. Do you ever factor into that it's a Google program, so they know what's coming from it, so they can like qualify it? Do you think that that factors into how Google ranks things if it's written with their AI tool?
I should say more, they were doing better with the SEO metrics. So, I mean, compared to both Google and Bing, which Bing is connected with ChatGPT. So it wasn't specifically, you know, Google teaming up with their Google tools to outrank everyone.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I think to your point of what you made earlier, like it shortens this distance with like creativity, I guess, where you are staring at this blank screen. And just recently I used Gemini to help me write a job description because I knew what I had in my head for this particular position that I wanted, but I kind of didn't know how to put it all into, well, even into a layout, if you will. And I asked it like, can you write me a job description for this particular title, blah, blah, blah. And it bumps it out. And it's amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, like there it is. And to your point, it always has to be edited, like without fail. I think I've seen some people in some examples of like writing blog posts where they just kind of take it and they only make a small amount of changes. But I guess that's where it jumps into like the blog post piece is, do you think that Google is, I don't even know how to ask it, but I guess it's like, how do you think they know the difference between the two? Right? Like, I guess maybe jump off there. Like, how do they know the difference? And then how do they even rank it?
Yeah, so it's not so much that they like can look at a piece of content and is like, oh, this is definitely written by a bot. We're not going to rank this. They're looking at different quality metrics. And this is actually really timely because I was telling you before we started recording, Google is rolling out one of the biggest core updates of all time throughout the entire month of March. And one thing that they're really looking at is what they're calling unhelpful content. So basically, they're looking at content that is typically created by, you know, AI bots, because it is going to be, you know, less high quality, less original. So they're definitely looking at originality of content, also how people are engaging with the content. So like if you go to a website and you can tell, oh my gosh, this was definitely written by a bot. It's super boring. It's not helpful. You're going to leave a lot more quickly than if you go to, you know, a blog post that was written by a human. It's more engaging. They're giving personal examples. You're really interested. So they're looking at things like that. It's not necessarily like they're trying to figure out which ones are definitely written by bots or not. And at the, I think it was the end of 2022, they added a new metric in their like quality ranking. So they had something was called EAT. So looking at like the expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness of a website. And then in 2022, I think in December, they added on an additional E. So now it's EEAT, which is harder to say. but the new E is for experience. So they are looking for that like personal experience that you can talk about in your blog post rather than, you know, something that's written by AI. They don't have any personal examples that they can, you know, introduce. So, you know, if you're writing a recipe blog post and you're talking about like how it was inspired by a restaurant that you visited or like a family recipe or something like that, Google actually will look at things like that, you know, to compare it to other content that isn't as high quality, doesn't have, you know, those personal examples. It's just spitting out content for the sake of content. So those are the different types of things that Google's looking at, like, and why a lot of times AI content isn't ranking as highly because it doesn't have those metrics that Google's looking at. And also people don't like reading those blog posts.
Right. Do you think they look at the history of a website? Like, I think you mentioned like the personal experiences or the personal stories or those pieces. I'm kind of curious if a website that has been around and creating consistent content for 5+ years, if that's ever weighted into it, because I would think AI would be really easy to like whip up a website right now, start busting out as many posts as you possibly can. So have they ever said if historical context makes a difference?
I don't know if they've ever specifically said that, but yeah, having that stronger, what's called domain authority, according to a website called Moz, that can definitely help because a website that has been around for, you know, 5-10 years, that does carry more authority than, yeah, a website that you just whipped up today, just launched. Also, it takes Google like a few weeks to even look at new websites. So if a brand new website is, you know, producing content similar to your content that you've had for 5 years, yours is much more likely to rank well on Google compared to, you know, this other website that, you know, Google probably hasn't even crawled yet.
Right. Okay. So I feel like whenever anybody says there's a Google update, people like start shaking in their boots. And we've just had like the helpful content update, which feels like it really took a lot of bloggers out. And it just was a really big hit to them. And now we have this core update. There's always bad actors, right? And I know that's like a Google's intent is to kind of like weed out those people. But for those who are listening, who are content creators and going, oh my gosh, I just went through HCU and now I'm going into this Google core update. Like, what can they do to really, I guess, prepare themselves for what's coming? And I guess in preparation, also, if they do want to leverage AI, is there an element like, can they, and I guess I'm stringing too many questions together. So I'm going to start with that. Like, what can they do to kind of prepare for what's coming?
Yeah. So this core update is definitely, they're trying to weed out the, you know, bad actors and the spammy websites, because those are becoming more and more prevalent. I know a ton of people were hit with like spammy traffic from websites in Poland in February and March. So yeah, it was so weird. It was like all my clients' data reports. I was like, yep, there's a spike in traffic from Poland. so they're trying to get rid of that kind of stuff. But I mean, along the way, of course, they're also looking at you know, content, I mean, they've specifically said they're looking at content that is unhelpful and unoriginal. So if you're just kind of like creating the same blog posts over and over again, or just, yeah, creating content for the sake of creating content, you may be, you know, hit with this update. So I would definitely look at your analytics and see how like different blog posts are performing. Check like your engagement time, check things like your site speed too, because if you're seeing a lot of people that are, you know, bouncing out off your site quickly, it could be that they're just, you know, the content didn't match what they're interested in, or your site could be really slow and they don't want to just sit around and wait for your site to load, especially if you're like running a lot of ads, that can, you know, definitely have an impact. So just checking to see like how your audience is currently engaging with your site could, you know, kind of give you some indicators on how your site could be impacted with this. But yeah, I would just definitely focus on creating quality content, making sure your audience is engaged with it. And if there are any issues, you know, with having a higher bounce rate and less engagement time, definitely trying to get to the, you know, root of those problems to see how you can get people to stay on your site longer and more interested in your content.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's jump off there with the positive. So there is a lot of negativity around AI. You know, we've talked about it here. Like, here's all the things that that Google's trying to like weed out, right? Like, we're trying to get rid of it. What's the good use case of AI in helping SEO?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are tons of different uses for AI that isn't just like writing a blog post for you. One thing that I really like using AI for is, you know, so sometimes I have blog posts that go really in depth in one topic. And then sometimes I have, you know, blog posts that are like kind of more of a listicle of five different strategies, you know, to whatever, rank higher on Google. So I'll actually take, you know, these more in-depth blog posts that I've written, put them into ChatGPT and, you know, say, can you write a listicle article based off of, you know, the content I've already created. So it's really helpful for like reusing content that you already have, or even just like rewording content you have, or, you know, if you're like stumped on how to word a certain phrase, or if you've written the draft of your blog and you're like, I just can't figure out how to make this more interesting. You know, it's really helpful with kind of like rephrasing things. In terms of SEO, you can use it to write like your title tags and meta descriptions. I will say you do need to give them parameters, because otherwise they'll write a really long meta description that Google's just going to cut off. So make sure, you know, when you're using AI, tell them exactly, you know, what you want them to do, or, you know, how long you want a piece of content or the, you know, meta description to be. I will say I would not use AI for doing keyword research. It can be helpful to kind of get a starting point with like, you know, different keywords or phrases that people have used, but they will not be able to give you information on like the monthly search volume, how competitive a keyword is, or things like that. And especially the free version of ChatGPT, I asked them today just to double check, but they only have data from up to September of 2021. So that is, yeah. So they do not have the most updated information. So definitely making sure that you're, you know, not using them for keyword research, but kind of using it, you know, kind of as a starting point. I also love using it as a thesaurus. If I'm like, I feel like I'm using this word way too many times, like what's another word for it. They're really good with that I've seen. So there are lots of different ways you can use it. For listicles, I really like. So, you know, especially if you're already creating tons of content, it's really easy just to, you know, give them the 10 blog posts that you've written on these different European countries and create a listicle on, you know, these 10 European countries that you should visit in the summer or something like that. So that's what I found to be the most helpful if you don't want to use it just to create a brand new blog post from scratch for you.
Right. Okay. So, and like, I like what you said, and you distinguished, like, you can't use it necessarily for keywords to get higher ranking or get good data. Cause I agree with you. Even when we go to write something, we don't use it for Pinterest because it's really old data and it's old information. And if we're relying on it, then it's actually like hurts us, right? Because it's not actually what it is that's true. And I think that is a really good call out, is that if you are new, like, I think one of the distinguishers that somebody said just recently, which I thought was good, was that a really good way to tell if AI is to your advantage is if you're already an expert in your industry, because you can see through the things, you can see through the AI and where the holes are. And if you're newer and you're a newer content creator and you're using it to try to become an expert in your industry, it might not be the thing that is leading you towards expertise. It might actually be leading you away. And so I think that's just a really good call out to, yes, it is a fast tool and it is really efficient and it speeds up the brainstorming time, but it may not be really accurate information. Would you say that people have caught on to that? Or maybe people haven't caught on to it yet and they still trust whatever it's spitting out?
I would say probably in general, people know that. And there have been some case studies done. Like I saw one, I think it was a wedding planner. She, you know, was using ChatGPT to write a blog post, and like two out of the 10 venues for the, you know, they talked about in this blog post had closed. So it was like definitely outdated information that ChatGPT was pulling. They will also, you know, they're pulling everything that they find on the internet. So it might not even be accurate data. So I think people, at least I hope people know that it's, you know, they need to be fact checking and, you know, checking things out if they're, you know, using specific examples or things that could have changed in recent years. So I hope people know that.
Okay. And if not, now they know.
Yeah, now they do.
We've talked about it, right? Okay. So we've talked about how to use it to work for SEO with some other areas that are not necessarily writing a blog post. But when you think of like your website, your overall business, like what are some other creative uses that you can infuse AI into your website that is going to be helpful and not hurtful?
Yeah, I think one that I've seen a lot of people use is using it to write emails. Like, you know, if you get, I don't know, an upset client email or something like that, like writing an email that is, you know, polite and professional rather than like putting your emotions into it. Seeing people, yeah, using it for job descriptions, you've definitely mentioned that. And even just like organizing things or keeping track of like SOPs in your business, if you have those. One person I talked to said that they actually have uploaded like all of their, you know, company SOPs and policies, things like that, into ChatGPT. So for like new employees, they can just go to ChatGPT. They have a obviously specific channel for this, and just ask like, you know, hey, what's the policy on this? Rather than having to like, you know, read through documents and search a bunch of things, they can like be able to be given the information super easily by ChatGPT. So I think there are tons of different uses for it. I'm sure I'm not even like using, you know, even probably 20% of what ChatGPT can do. Another thing, if you have a podcast, you can take the transcript from the podcast and turn it into blog posts. I've heard people that will take, they'll like record calls that they have with clients or potential clients, obviously with their permission, and put it into ChatGPT and like have them, you know, analyze like what are the most frequently asked questions that they get from these people, or, you know, what's a topic that comes up the most. And then that can help them like have an FAQ page or like write blog posts on those topics and things like that. So yeah, I think there are tons and tons of different uses, completely unrelated to business. But someone told me that they just created spreadsheet in ChatGPT with like information on when they need to be planting their seeds because it's spring now. and I was like, oh my God, I just created this super in-depth spreadsheet by hand. I could have used ChatGPT for that.
Yes, totally. Well, and I think you said it a couple seconds ago with it. It like caught me and now it's leaving. It was...
podcast?
Yeah, there was a podcast. Oh, yes. And actually taking that and converting it into your FAQ page, like what a great idea, because I even think about that. There's questions I get all the time. So even taking one of our like free town halls that we do and taking the Zoom transcription or, you know, whatever it is, like transcribing our Zoom and then putting it into there and seeing what the most commonly asked questions are, commonly used terms, would be such a fascinating use case for it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot there. Okay. So what I'm taking away from this is, one, we need to be super curious about it still. Curious with a dose of skeptical. curiousness to it, like a side eye. Would you agree with that? Like, stay curious, but kind of, you know, don't trust it 100%.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because I know a lot of legal issues are going to come out of, you know, AI using content that they pulled from, you know, the web, but they haven't come out yet. So just, you know, err on the side of caution with like the information that you're getting from ChatGPT and like using on your website, and also making sure, yeah, you're definitely like editing it, adding your personal experience, things like that. So, you know, that might help mitigate any like copyright issues that come out. I'm not a lawyer, so please do not ask me legal issues. This is something I've definitely like thought about as I'm using these tools, is like, you know, you don't know like where they're getting this information from, or, you know, if you should be giving whatever website credit if it is copyrighted. So just something I think to be aware of as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like the beginning days of social media. And I even remember the beginning days of Pinterest. There was that big discussion around like copyright of images, right? Because people would be saving them and they would be going public. And it was like, but wait a minute, do I want this to go public? So I think whenever something's like new, we definitely have, there's no legal precedent for it. So you can't really say like, okay, we do this or we don't do this. It's kind of this no man's land. Like, we're still even learning how to democratize it, but also keep it where it's has some guardrails around it. And I think for those who are nervous about it, just use it, right? Like, just open it up and see what it does. And I would say, to your point about SEO and what we started with, like, I love the shortening of the time to writing a blog post or writing a podcast or writing, like, it has been, it's such a valuable tool. So like, don't throw away the whole idea of AI, because there's so many good things that come along with it. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, especially because it, like you said, it makes it so much more efficient. So you can create more blogs more quickly. I mean, definitely, you know, edit them and everything. But that can help you rank higher on Google if you have more quality content. Again, remember the whole core update that's coming out. but the more content you have, the more keywords that you're able to target, the more people you're able to reach. So it is really helpful to be able to be more efficient with writing your blogs and, yeah, not having to just stare at that blank screen and get really stressed out and then not write any blogs at all.
Yes, exactly. Which that used to be the biggest hurdle, right? Like, people would say to us, especially our e-commerce clients, would be like, I don't know how to write a blog post. I don't even want to write a blog post. And now there's so many things that they could whip up really quickly, put some edits on, and really help warm up people to their product, which I think is really the main thing that content does, is it really helps sell people into the why. And if this removes that barrier for people, that's huge.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we've got the Google core update coming. You know a lot about SEO. You know a lot about AI. So how can people connect with you if they are shaking in their boots going into this core update?
Yeah, so you can find me pretty much anywhere at Julia Renee Consulting. So my website is juliareneeconsulting.com. You can find me on Instagram at Julia Renee Consulting. If you want to email me, ask me questions, it's julia@juliareneeconsulting.com.
Got it. We will make sure and put that in the show notes below. So just scroll down in your podcast app and you can go connect with Julia from there. And I would highly encourage everybody listening, if you have not played around with AI, please do it. And if you are overusing AI, maybe like dial it back just a little bit. So Julia, thanks so much for chatting with us. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.